The award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Tony Wilson.
Tony, do you know anything about horse racing?
I know that the word rostrum gets used in the race call, which I love.
Wow, that's more than us, isn't it, Ed?
Oh, you know it.
Are we
so
talking horse racing? Is there anything on the show today?
Yeah, we're talking horses and racing. Maybe not connected, though.
Hey, we'll find out which 80s songs work better as a race call.
You know it. You know, also, Passione High, the first installment, Tone. The first installment.
You said that yesterday.
And I lied. But today it's actually going to happen. We're going to find out what Blue Sky's thinking and the helicopter view means.
And we'll find out how Paul McCartney's going with that one-legged prostitute he married.
Yeah, that's a lovely story.
Does that sound like a show to you, Tony?
Rostrum again, what we mentioned early on.
It's all packed up on the rostrum and ready to go here at Get This. The show that, despite what you've heard, is not inciting people to violence.
No. I don't think that anything he said incited what, you know? People can, like, I can listen to Tupac if I want to. I can listen to Nickelback if I want to. If I want to follow what this guy followed, that's up to me.
That's true.
Thank you, Kevin Rudd.
It's the easy listening sounds of Get This around the nation. Good morning, everybody.
Best pirate shanty ditty ever.
Yeah, we like pirate music. Good afternoon, by the way, if you're listening in Newcastle. Good evening, if you're in Adelaide. It's me, Tony Martin. Mm. It's that man, Ed Cavalli. It's that bloke, Richard Marsden. And then it's this man, Tony Wilson.
Yeah. Hello. Tony, Ed.
I'd write all that down. It's a complicated show. Hey, what have you brought in, Tony?
I've brought in something in the national colours on Cup Day, Australia United, by me, Tony Wilson, Adventures at the 2006 World Cup Germany.
And you were at a lot more of it than I was, because we were over there for about the same amount of time.
And then we went on diverging pathways, one of us staying with the tournament, the other of us going to suck piss in Prague.
Now, obviously, this is not just some kind of football book.
No, it's not. It's got all sorts of other insights into the way the world ticks over.
Yes.
It's about life, man. It's about life at its best. People getting together and, you know, and doing stuff.
Like, for example, there's a story of my pregnant girlfriend wearing a lead blanket on a plane trip to Europe.
Is that advisable?
Well, apparently, she found out that American Airlines ground their staff in the first trimester because the amount of radiation, and it's just the cosmic radiation that's up there, can damage a fetus to the same extent as an X-ray.
Is that right?
And so she thought, if you wear a lead blanket in the X-ray, you wear one on a 21-hour flight.
How do you get a lead blanket onto a plane these days?
Well, you have to talk your way through security and like David Copperfield, hold up your lead blanket and show that there's nothing behind it. But eventually,
just an ordinary lead blanket. Ordinary lead blanket.
She had to convince them that she was insane. She didn't have to, and that basically put them at ease as to her not carrying anything dangerous. And then basically it was 1 kilogram.
All right.
So our total luggage was 15 kilos. She added 1/14th of the total value with a lead blanket of 1 kilo.
And I like how you told me off air that she asked you not to put it in the book. You have. And now you've taken that and you said, how about some national radio to go with it?
That's right. She'll be listening in too. Hello, darling. There's also, we're on trains a lot.
Yeah, I was just saying to you off air that a lot of the book is you travelling the places and then sitting in squares getting drunk.
Yeah.
And might I say, really erudite Australians and other people coming up and having conversations with you.
Well, there was a Japanese guy by the name of Kenji, and he was filming our views on what football was, and I stammered out something about how it brings the world together. It was all cliches and not worth recording. You could see that sinking. You could see that sinking feeling in Kenji's face as he recorded it.
I hope that's not in the book.
And then I said to Kenji, "Well, I'm writing a book. Have you got anything good?" And Kenji just nails this brilliant philosophy. It was like it was Confucius. He was saying it's all about successive futures and it moves from one future to the next future to the next future, just like life. And I sort of came out of it thinking that Mr. Miyagi had just given me a dressing down. But basically, that section in the book ends with him saying that the Japanese think too much. Australia is much more playing with feeling, with heart. Kenji had barely finished his sentence before a conga line of Aussies emerged through the glass door of the carriage. Sushi, sushi, sushi train, sushi train, sushi train. They sang as they snaked joyfully past our cabin. Maybe Kenji was right. From the look of them, they were living for the short term with no notion of incremental successive futures. They were just being the best sushi train they could be.
Oh, what some beautiful writing. That's from Tony Wilson.
Beautiful.
Australia United.
Right.
That's out. Don't forget, Players are still in the shops. Excellent novel. And a book for the kids, The Thirsty Flowers. I don't know if you've heard this, Tony, but on our website, you can hear yourself reading a few chapters from that with wildly inappropriate backing music.
I did actually know that. And you'd be pleased to know that I launched another children's book the other day for a guy called Graham Bass. He's massive. He's sold 5 million books worldwide. And so I was kind of the little stooge who had to fire up the kids beforehand.
Right.
And,
the warm-up act.
I was the warm-up act. And then I interviewed Graham. Yeah. But whilst he was getting his... He was organising the incredible, you know, out of control signatures for 800 kids. So one kid came up to me. His name was Carlo, and said, "Will you sign a post-it note on Graham Bass's book?" And so I said, "Oh, no worries." He's holding it out, and I'm trying to think of what to write. His little smart-ass friend over the shoulder, Chris, who's out at Sunshine Christian College.
If you're listening, Chris, eight-year-old,
you. Pull your pants up.
Yeah. 8-year-old kid, Vietnamese, he's over the top, and in a strong Australian accent, he's come out with, "What do you want his signature?" And Carlo said, "Oh, he's written his own book." He said, "How do we know he wrote it?" I flip to the front of my book and point to my name and say, "Tony Wilson, I wrote The Thirsty Flowers." There it is, Chris. Then I'm poised still over the post-it note. And he goes, "Bit rusty."
He's a future literary critic investigative journalist.
Yeah.
And hang on, so you're signing a post-it note, you're just barnacling onto somebody else's book.
Exactly. Well, I'm counting it as an autograph for all those who think I don't keep count. I'm up to 15 this year.
Not bad.
Oh, and the
Not
kids,
bad.
You know, like, what about the drama in the papers today? An actor who played a Bananas and Pyjamas character has been jailed for glassing another woman at a Gold Coast pub last year.
Glassing another woman?
The woman who plays Lulu, it wasn't one of the bananas themselves.
They were already paralytic that night.
And they have bodyguards now to beat people up for them.
That's true.
They're so up themselves. Now that the banana is so valuable, they're getting around with the bling on.
Yes. Solid gold pajamas.
Entourage. They both got the grills in. Have you seen that?
Yeah, they do.
Australia will be a safer place when bananas drop to $7 a kilo again.
What's happened?
Oh, the woman who plays Lulu. I don't know the character Lulu.
Lulu's a cuddly bear, sans pants.
All right. Well, the thing is, mystery surrounds whether this woman actually played Lulu, as her lawyers claimed in court. Now, why would you claim that if it wasn't true? Don't worry, I've got this fantastic strategy.
Yeah, what is it?
No. I'll just say that you were the bear in Bananas and Pyjamas.
Why?
It'll distract them.
Yeah.
Because they'll go... Okay. Oh, that bear, it's so cuddly.
Okay, if this...
That bear wouldn't glass somebody.
If this defence doesn't work, I'm going to glass you.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're not really the bear at all?
Nah, I'm a glasser.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I roam through bars glassing people, and if you want to say that I was the bear on Bananas and Pyjamas, that's fine.
I think it'll work. I think that'll be a really good defence. I mean, all the information seems to be working against you, but this bear thing...
All the facts.
Why would you claim that if it wasn't true,
I don't know.
Tony?
B1 degree assault.
Oh, hello. Is Greg Fleet here?
Are they going to get off?
Look at this. Tony Wilson brings in. He's obviously had a colonoscopy.
What's happened is I walk down to my office every day with your podcast. So I've now listened to 31 consecutive shows of you guys.
It's 15 to go.
And you'd be pleased to know that I ran into one of the Melbourne football clubs, the Western Bulldogs Football Club, on their Mad Monday.
Oh, yeah.
How mad does it get?
That's when they're out doing what B1 and B2 do with glasses, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was at the lights, and I broke into laughter, and one of the Footscray footballers said, "What are you guys laughing at? What are you laughing at?" And I said, "I'm laughing at Tony Martin being the other Tony Martin at the moment," which is what I was up to in the podcast.
I strangled myself. Yeah, I'm Tony Martin from Wildside. It's quite easy. Have a go. Anyone can do it.
I'm Tony Wilson from Wildside.
What did you want to be a cop for? Why did you join the force in the first place? I said, "Why did you join the force in the first place?"
Just say everything twice and strangle yourself, and you are Tony Martin.
Yeah, but basically, so I've therefore heard a lot of Fleet's work.
Greg Fleet. We can't shake him off.
No.
He's probably on the most, and I was wondering...
He is on the most.
He's been severely on the most for years.
He claims he's off the most. I'm not sure.
And I wondered whether he knew and you knew, because my mother, and this is where you put in the bowel cancer observation, my mother had bowel cancer, got through it, but now she has to have a colonoscopy every 18 months. And
gotta have them.
And when I'm 35, I'm up for them as well.
Get that camera up there.
I've turned 34, so it's a year to go. She's told me the worst part of the colonoscopy is the preparation, and you have to take a fluid, an awful sort of thick gunk that just washes you out.
You have to drink it.
Actually, because I've had a couple of these, work-related, of course.
Yeah,
not
right.
For medical reasons.
Yeah, right.
It was a pilot we were doing.
Yeah. I it was pretty good.
It's nice to make it tax-deductible, isn't it?
The show that we did for 10 didn't get up, and the ABC were interested, so I thought, you know, camera up the arse. Maybe there's something up there.
There it
Maybe
is.
That's an expanding
Maybe
market.
Something up there. Maybe there's something up there.
But a couple of years ago, it was this sort of green concrete. But now, it's
green
like...
Green concrete?
Yeah, basically, you're drinking green concrete. Well, something you don't like to eat.
No.
You finally struck something after 8 months.
Sounds filling, though.
But now, it's a sort of refreshing fizzy drink.
Yes, it's still apparently not very nice tasting, but it is called Fleet.
Is it?
Yeah. So if you want a colonoscopy treatment with flavour and class, grab some Fleet and have it for the day before...
He's
your
providing
procedure.
That service for free, though. Like, he'll
clean you out.
Clean you right out.
And how do you reckon they advertise Fleet?
Just
a boat on a pond.
Oh, well, I didn't want to have that done until I saw that boat on that pond. Now it looks like a very relaxing holiday. Popping up to...
This is not what the brochure said it would be. Dear, oh, dear. Please.
Tony, what is this glistening gold object you've brought in?
Well, I've heard that one of Ed's missed promises for the year...
Come on, so many. Come on. So many to choose from.
...is that he said he'll have a table tennis tournament.
Mm.
And I've been involved in one. I used to play in the Down Street table tennis tournament in Collingwood about once every month with a mate of mine, and... I won the tournament with my partner, Tamsin, of the lead blanket.
Yeah.
And we got awarded these gold glitter bats.
Oh,
that
look
just joined
that.
Together.
Stuck together, and they are beautiful. They are beautiful.
They are the sort of... That's what Michael Landon walks towards at the end of Highway to Heaven. And basically... With their gold sparkle, I was thinking that you might award them to the winner of your tournament.
This is now the new... And look, you've done the right thing. This is what I was hoping for. If I just say it and then do nothing, eventually people will get upset and start doing my work for me, and it's starting to pay off.
And another thing I can suggest for your tournament, which we used to do at Downstreet, is some black light action. Get yourself a black light, paint the bats white, paint the net white, the ball goes, and everything is this luminous purple.
Oh, my God.
And you play round the table, black light table tennis.
And you can steal people's signatures from their credit card while you're about it. Hey, there's a table tennis movie coming out. Called Balls of Fury.
That's not a table tennis movie.
It is.
Really?
And it's like full
Who's
of...
It?
It's like the poor man's Jack Black. It just looks like, if you squint, it's a Jack Black movie. But then it's not Jack Black, it's someone else. Still could be good. Really? But it's full of Matrix-style table tennis.
Now, see, that's where I draw the line. Yeah. I'd much rather see just actual impressive table tennis.
I think some of it's actual and impressive.
Because I don't, you know, and I can tell, like in Forrest Gump, when the ball is computer generated.
Yes.
And that makes me really angry.
Yeah. I've played Meow Meow. Do you know her?
Yeah.
She's our top ranked woman.
She is.
And
she really?
I took two points off her, lost 11-2.
Is that in the book? Is that in Australia United by Tony Wilson out now?
Unfortunately, my anecdotes, even though they wandered off topic, did not wander that far.
We haven't mentioned horse racing, probably because we know nothing about it.
I know.
But we will get to it eventually.
Yeah, the noise you have to make if there's a scratching is this. A scratching for Gary Lecter Toyota. It's on one of those other channels.
I don't know what he's talking about here. I know this sound. It's whenever in like any movie made before 1975, if somebody's watching TV, they're always watching this on TV. It's like that was the only thing shown on TV for 50 years, apparently. We've got actual things, proper real things to talk about. That'll be next on Get This. All right, I think Jed have finished there. Put your money where your mouth is. This is professional radio. Get This around the nation. Tony Wilson, he's from another radio station. Aren't you? We're not even allowed to mention it.
Community radio, unthreatening for you people in here.
Triple R. Have you seen our numbers?
We're threatened by everybody on this show. We're just generally frightened. That story I mentioned about the woman who was jailed for glassing another woman at a Gold Coast pub and then claimed in court she was Lulu, the fluffy brown bear.
How can you get charged for glassing somewhere on the Gold Coast? I thought it was... I thought it was sweet up there.
It's all part of the fun.
Yeah, everyone just playing mini golf and eating all you can eat Chinese.
Yeah, and then just going out at night and glassing.
And then popping down to Ripley's.
Yeah. Staying at Ripley's.
But
yeah.
Listen to this. The woman, there's sort of controversy. Was she just the Lulu on stage?
Oh.
As opposed to the TV version?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they get someone fancier to do it on the
TV.
No, but listen, my favourite line from the story is the woman wept, sobbed and threw up in the dock after pleading guilty. Wept, sobbed and threw up in the dock.
She's wept and the lawyer's gone, it's not getting through. And then she sobbed, it's not getting through.
Yeah.
Go for the A material.
Yeah. And then the stenographer going, how is that
we
me?
Have our ascending tricolon. Well done.
B-B-B-G-H-H-H. How do you spell that exactly? Hey, speaking of spellings and mispronunciations and errors of talking and whatnot, have a listen to what I heard on the news. I was waiting for The Sopranos to come on last night, so it's about 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Was it a good episode, Mr. Marvel?
Fantastic, yeah. It's back on track, because I was a bit worried about season 6, because there was about 3 episodes of the dream sequence.
The dream
sequence. How worried were you, Rich?
Yeah. Pretty concerned.
Yeah.
You know, I've invested 5 years in this show. I don't want a, you know, 6 feet under style.
And yet, Tony, incredibly hot girlfriend.
It's the number one show ever made. There you go. I'm with you, Richard.
Sopranos.
Mars Wannerland, as I'm calling you.
The Button Whisperer. Sir Ben Kingsley in it last night as well.
Sir Ben Kingsley?
Yeah.
Wow, wasn't he the... Didn't Sir Ben Kingsley sentence Saddam Hussein to death yesterday?
He did
you see that footage?
He did.
He's gone off. It's gone off on Saddam. What were we talking about? I can't remember. The Sopranos. You were saying the best show ever.
Maybe Northern Exposures as well.
I love Northern Exposure.
What about Deadwood?
I haven't seen it.
That's the big debate.
Yeah, time's going to tell on that one, Tone.
I think Deadwood might be better than The Sopranos. Really? See, Nikki's agreeing.
I'm naturally anti-Western.
That's the thing. That's why so many people don't watch it. That's why I didn't watch
it. And that's a natural reaction, Wilson. That's a very natural reaction up front.
I didn't watch it. And it'd been around about 3 times on Showtime and friends of mine had an intervention. They're going, get over the hats. It's actually good.
I liked Evil Roy Slade, a movie from the 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I tried to watch Is It Unforgiven, which was apparently meant to be the Western that made you like Westerns. Didn't like it. And then I heard about Deadwood and said, well, I didn't like that Unforgiven. Why will I turn around on Deadwood?
Okay, what you want to do is you want to watch the Trinity films with Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer,
really?
progress to the shakiest gun in the West with Don Knotts, and then I think you're ready for Deadwood.
Need it. You'll need it by the end of the shakiest gun in the West.
I'd like to see Don Knotts in Deadwood. Else, where's you? I'm a what? I'm a hoople here. What are we talking about?
You've got a clip, Tone.
Waiting up for The Sopranos, they're talking about this new film with Cate Blanchett and Brad Pitt.
Sorry, what?
This is how the title is spelled. Are you ready for this, Tony?
Yeah.
B-A-B-E-L. What does that spell?
Babel.
Babel, as in the Tower of Babel.
Yes, as in lots of languages. The Babel fish in Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yes, exactly. Mm. So if a journalist was to see the word B-A-B-E-L, what would they call it?
The Australian Oscar winner stars with Brad Pitt in Babel, which follows a couple on holiday in Morocco trying to fix their marriage.
It sounds like a Daryl Hannah film, Babel.
And she wouldn't let it go.
The talk in Hollywood is that Cate Blanchett's performance in Babel could earn her an Oscar for Best Actress.
Babel? Babel?
The Tower of Babel. That's what we should call this show, The
Tower of Babel.
Britney Spears and her teenage friends... hijinks in Babel.
But in case you're wondering...
Babel opens in Australia on Boxing Day.
I'm sure that will open before Passiona High. What are you even following this, Tony?
What are you
saying? I'm trying to get a character.
Have you got the theme song? Mm-hmm. We've got...
What I've got, Tone, is I've got the first... I've written down an outline of the first episode.
An outline?
An outline of a treatment, if you will.
Yeah? Treatment? So we're not going to have a sketch. We're going to have a bit of sizzle for possibly a sketch.
What we want is we're going to give you the end, we're going to give you the song, and then I'm going to give you the outline, and then I'm throwing it open to the listeners / emailers, and I want there's some proposed lines and things like that, and then I'm going to collate all that into a first episode.
Oh, all right.
Don't look at me like it's not going to happen. I've gotten this far. I've got a bit of paper.
You successfully got everyone else writing it for you. I think you should be right.
It's brilliant. It's quite brilliant, really. But hang on, are we using Greg Fleet's theme song, or have you...
Well, Greg's good, but I had a call from another group of artists who claimed to have a number one selling single in Australia overall at least 1 year.
1989.
89, they did mention that. Beat out some nonsense to number one. And look, they've been on board. 2, 3, 4. Decent Obsession, people.
Indecent Obsession.
Say Goodbye.
That was the highest-selling single of 1989, beating the D-Generation, which came in second.
With the Satanic Sketches?
With a piss take, I think, of that song.
And
possibly, I don't know. So that's the
and
theme.
They're back.
The scene is set.
Day one, Passiona High. Chairman of the Nerd Committee, Tony Martin, is busted by the two sports coaches for non-attendance. He is forced to play football unless he and the Nerd Committee can come up with a plan. Problem is, they only have one lunchtime meeting left before the big game. How will the chairman of the Nerd Committee, Tony Martin, get out of this one? And who is the mysterious delivery man that may hold all the answers?
We can guess. Right, so what do the listeners have to do?
That description will be up on the website, and all they got to do now is just write in, like if they've just got two lines that they'd like, a little bit of stage direction, whatever they'd like, and then me and Shanksy and Nikki and yourself and Wilson, you're involved now, bad luck. We're going to cobble it together, and we're going to come up with the first episode.
Wow.
It will be read out on air, and all of the and the parts will be played by the people that the characters.
Oh, and will it be live, like old-style radio?
You know it.
Wow.
So you need a nerd excuse, is that right, to get out of sport?
I'm just going, you know, when I set up taping like Late Line and and trying to cut what John Howard said into like a bit of music, what I could do is just come in and go, hey everyone, I was watching Late Line last night. Here's what I saw. I'll be out the back making a coffee. If you guys want to write the sketch, put it on the internet, and then I'll just read it out tomorrow. Wouldn't that be an easy way to live your life?
Listen,
can you imagine that, Tony?
That's why he doesn't get his name on the poster, Tony.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up.
That's true. Yeah. And why Ed's name really should be at the beginning of the show. I agree with that. But the gap in the Hive song is only enough for two people. If we get asked back next year, maybe we'll get the Hives to re-record a longer version.
I've got to start getting more precious round here. Yeah. No name on the poster.
And sorry to go backwards here. I know it's all about forward momentum, but...
be on the poster too.
Do you want the outro?
Yeah, sorry. There's an outro. We should play it.
Now, you're saying Tony Wilson can be in it.
Yeah, I want him to be.
Have you got a character you'd like to be, Tony?
Yes, I want to be Mr. Hugh Snibson, who is the Mormon physics teacher with a birthmark on his face, and he has taken a bit of heat from the kids. He comes in on day one with a guitar and tries to win them over, singing Monty Python's The Galaxy Song.
You're on.
This show
is
writing itself. We will have some actual talk of horse racing, I'm sure, coming up soonish. Get this.
Well, you've got to be very careful with these things. I think the responsible thing to do would be to put this to the management and get their version of it.
For the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito.
It's Get This. Around the nation, I think. Hey, by the monthly. Hello to people in Brisbane, Sydney, Adelaide, Newcastle and Melbourne, where it's a public holiday. Not in here, it's not. Tony Wilson has come in.
Hello, Tony. Ed.
And he's just received a copy of our new album, Illegal Download, which is only obtainable to listeners of this program who call in and get on air on Talkback Mountain.
You know it.
And if this was released in 1985, it would look like you had a record deal. But with the miracles of home computing, I know that this took about 4 hours to knock up. Well done, guys.
There's only 1,000 of them.
Yep.
And we will be giving some to people who... right into us from zones where, because of the time difference, they can't get on.
We are sympathetic to that, and we're going to make some allowances for that.
Who is this bloke? Oh, this guy here. We're going to send him a copy.
Who you got?
Guerin Tino.
Oh, Guerin, yes.
Yeah, I met him in a shop, and he introduced himself as the bloke who'd sung The Touch from the Transformers, the movie soundtrack, with Richard Marsden. They duetted.
Right, yeah.
He sent me in, look at this, a copy of the soundtrack.
Lovely, made a little cover for it and everything.
Yeah, and then maybe thinking, oh, that's not going to be enough.
No.
That's not going to be enough to swing the deal. I better send them the latest issue of Bacon Busters.
What's that?
It's a magazine for people who like to kill pigs.
And what's on the cover? Who's made the front cover this week?
They've got, firstly they're pointing out it's the original and the best.
Of the pig killing magazines.
Yeah, you don't want to get those rubbish ones.
Yeah, I hate those rubbish ones. Yeah.
I went to Alaska in 1998 and made a story about a woman who said that she met her husband after answering an ad in a pig shooting magazine. And I've always thought for, like, how many years? 8 more years on, surely there is no such thing as a pig shooting magazine. And yet, you flash bacon across my face there, Tony Martin, and my question is answered.
They've got, is this Australia's biggest boar?
Probably.
They've got 124 pigs in 6 days. Can it be done?
How many times do you reckon they've used the boar headline?
You want to go boar again?
Yeah.
Bringing home the bacon was last month. Go back to boar. Yeah. Girls with grunt.
What? Hang on. What?
Yeah, but see, the thing is...
Is it girls draped over dead pigs?
I'd have to open the magazine. And see, last night...
Come on. Right here.
Okay, I'm warning you.
I don't care, I'm into it.
I gave this to my wife yesterday. I've gone, someone said it's Bacon Busters, and we're all laughing, and then she opened it.
Yep.
She's gone, Yeah, that is disturbing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've got a story for them.
Yeah, please do, Wally.
Well, I went taken out for birthday dinner this week at a restaurant in Melbourne called Taxi, and it was kind of my sister and my birthday, a very flash place. Yeah, right. And the waiter told me that I was having some Iberian ham on. And apparently the pigs that are killed for Iberian ham on, they have only ever eaten acorns in their whole life.
Whoa.
Which is why it comes in at some extraordinary dollar price per kilo. And you can taste the acorn on the bacon.
Can you survive on an acorn-only diet?
I don't know. It does sound cruel. So if you are eating Iberian ham on, you, like me, are a bacon abuser.
Okay. A big shout out to the Hog, Dog and Utes weekend.
That's harmless. That's great, the Dog and Utes weekend.
No, attendees. And a big shout out to 19-year-old Tamara, who came second in the wet T-shirt comp.
Yeah.
Proudly sporting a bikini and a bottle of Bundy and Cola.
So you haven't got to the photos of, like, guys bathing themselves in the blood of freshly slaughtered
porkers? Not as yet.
It gets pretty disturbing back there.
I'm at the merchandise.
I'm telling you, Bacon Busters ain't for everybody.
Holy moly.
There you go. Now he's getting there. Gwerin says he has a lactose intolerant cat and 2 litres of milk. You do the maths. Send me a CD. So we will send a copy of Illegal Download to that man.
Yep.
I'm just looking for other big stories we didn't get to. You know what I like to do, Tony? I don't know if on your program you... I mean, I know you like to cover the hard news, so I'm assuming you don't get out the new weekly and go straight to Guess Who Don't Sue.
Not always, no.
You know, they have this thing where it's like they don't say who the celebrity is, but you kind of can guess.
Yeah.
But
it's always Pete Doherty, almost, always.
Yeah, it's true. They're running out of material. That's what I'm suggesting. Guess Who Don't Sue? Which star's wife is secretly sleeping with his best friend? That's probably everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, Richard Marsland.
That's just like, shouldn't there be more specific information?
That's boring celebrity story. Like, that wouldn't even splash across a new idea. And on our show, we have to find the novelty story for the end of the news.
Yes.
And I find the weight across my neck as I hear of another robber that's not cut the mustard, you know, that's either got drunk at the house or
naked. Broken in nude.
Naked. And you can't, there's just this, there's parrots that give away burglars and parrots that give away unfaithful husbands. Yes. They are a dime a dozen. But that is the celebrity equivalent, what you've got there, which is wife of best friend going out with, got drunk, was sick in car. You know, that seems to be how they go.
It should be more specific. This one isn't bad. Which celebrity can snort 2 lines of coke at the same time?
Oh, that's okay.
That's probably Pete Doherty.
Snuffleupagus Doherty.
Snuffleupagus. But is that just to save time that you would have 2 straws, like one up each nose? I'm in a real hurry. I've got so much to get through today. I'm going to have to just do this with 2 nostrils at once.
Okay, yep. Back to in bacon.
Yeah,
I've never seen,
not since there were no Weet-Bix in the downstairs kitchen, have I seen Ed Cavalli look so disturbed.
124 pigs in 6 days?
Yeah.
Easy.
They're talking killing them, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, shooting them in the face.
Don't let it be something disturbing.
And they've done it, people.
Yeah.
They have done it.
But what would constitute a, you know, not as good pig killing magazine? I mean, who would be standing there going, well, this isn't up to the standards of Bacon Busters?
I mean, sure, she's a babe and she's lying on a pig, but seen better, to be honest.
Hey, let's dazzle Tony Wilson with some music.
I'm really happy with what I've come up with today.
What have you come up with?
I'm going to sing sort of two females' voices, wow. And I'm going to play some really catchy guitar at the same time.
Wow.
Two, three, four.
That's pretty impressive.
Thank you. It gets better. I'll probably bust an acoustic soon.
Yeah? Oh, this is the B-52s. Welcome aboard. Let's get this around the nation. Triple M, KOFM, if you're in Newcastle, or if you're in Newcastle, Tony Wilson is with us.
Mm.
He's written, a number of books. Australia United, Adventures at the 2006 World Cup Germany. That's
it's
out.
It's your one-stop shop for lead blankets, sushi trays.
Drop bears get a mention.
They do.
So happy to see Drop Bears get a mention. They were frightened to senseless when we were at school camps about Drop Bears.
Well, a guy who missed out on a ticket to, well, he got a ticket to Munich and then got caught in an Athens airline strike on the day, didn't get to the game. Then when he got to the Stuttgart game, he descended from the rafters. He could have been somewhere up in space and arrived around my neck to celebrate the moment.
It's all in the book. And Players, can you still get that?
You can. I got Best Young Australian Novelist for Players this year.
Is that decided on literary merit or age?
You've got to be under 35.
Okay.
And you might notice that I left out the fact that there were actually four of us that won it together.
That's okay.
But if you're in, they're probably not listening.
The contributors of Bacon Busters. Yeah. How did they go this year?
I'm not sure. Their feature there on pigs that only eat acorns seems to have not got them in there.
Not caught on. Surprise.
We're not brought to you by Bacon Busters. We're brought to you by Mercedes Benz Vita. Vito. I don't know if Gary Newman is a good way to promote the Vito. Is that a good idea? Gary Newman, startled by lava lamps. Every album cover. Oh, is that a pyramid full of light? Oh, I'm startled again. Constantly startled.
That's his thing. Everyone's got to have a gimmick, and that's his.
Horse racing. It's going on somewhere, apparently.
Do we need to... what about this guy?
Oh, what's that story?
Well, the man's arrested on suspicion of carrying a concealed weapon after police found him outdoors naked, and he told them that he had a tool in his rectum.
Right. Okay, so...
Let's just say that he's lying... He's lying on a park bench, right?
Yeah.
He's enjoying his own company.
Yes.
Perhaps a little more than one should in public.
Nicely reworded.
Thank you very much.
From the article.
And then they've said, have you got anything on you that we should know about? And he said, yes, I've got an ice pick wrapped in some sort of tape in my ass.
Right. So is that a threat or is that just for their information? Just in case, if you've lost one, it might be... That could be it.
The plot of Basic Instinct 2.
Because, I mean, it's going to be hard to, you know... Attacks? I mean, you're going to need written notice.
But
geez,
they'll
be
surprised. I tell you what, they'll be surprised. If you think you've finally wrestled the naked man at the ground, you're like, that's it. His wallet, wherever it might be, is mine. Right? And he's going, really? Shing? I don't think so.
It's not shing. It takes a lot longer than shing. You've got to get the tape off it as well.
You've got to get that.
Do you want to have your best sound effect there, Tony?
Yeah.
What would the goons have done?
It would have been this one.
And he's always got a glass of Fleet ready just to give it the push it needs.
Don't come at me yet. I've got me colonoscopy medicine.
I've got me Fleet and then
I've got an 20. Ice pick up my ass. And it's wrapped in tape, but it's light sellotape. You could be in trouble. If you give me 25 minutes, you could be severely injured.
So, there you go. I love how you've written up the top because Nikki's brought it over for us.
Yeah.
And you've written, Nikki, is this for real? ? Tell you what, though, best reenactment ever. I mean, there's not a lot of acting work out there, but I reckon even I might turn down the role of naked masturbator, ice pick up the bum. Number two.
Ed, we've got another KFC ad masturbating tool up bum guy.
What was that second one?
Masturbating tool up bum guy?
Done.
And you know how you didn't.
I won't expect payment.
And you know how you didn't have to eat in the KFC. Yeah. This time you really do have to put the thing up here.
Let's get up a certain mountain.
I'm glad that was tasteful. I'm glad that was a tasteful segment.
Tony Wilson knows all about sports.
He knows about everything.
There's sports in his new book, Australia United, but not so much sports that you hate it.
You'd like it, Tony. You'll be into it. I mean, I love the World Cup. I love every second.
I didn't read players for ages because I thought it was going to be about football.
Same as me avoiding the Westerns, maybe.
Yeah, you didn't want
the sport book.
No, but players is, of course, about the footy show wars. Mm. Much more interesting than actual football for me, for a nerd.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
But horse racing, that one's got me
baffled. Hard to come at.
Yeah.
Well, today, if you're watching the races, it is the best 5 minutes of television for the year when the angry little men in their silks.
They're angry, aren't they?
When they head towards the scales, carrying their saddles. Only one of them's happy, so that means that 23 of them are a little bit angry.
Lost.
And they give their excuse as to why they haven't won the Melbourne Cup. And that is, in my opinion, the best 3 minutes of television for the year.
Is there anything
when they say, they just go along one by one and say, nah, didn't get the 3,200. Then they go on to the next one. Then they go on to the next one and say, eh, never got out, never really had a chance. But it's never, ever their fault. Stuffed up the ride entirely. Didn't get the jump. You know, I should have probably been in better position. It's never that. It's just, not good enough. You never went on with it. It's just a fantastic succession of high-pitched, angry little men who are about to go off to get their bourbons and cokes.
Someone left a piano accordion on the course.
Just great excuses.
Really?
Maybe that could be our dovetail today.
Oh, great jockey excuses.
Jockey excuses.
Right. Jockey excuses is definitely the dovetail.
There's so much disturbing gear. Have you seen the horse mating? Have you seen that?
What?
Oh, the preparation.
In the office? Or?
No, on YouTube.
Oh, right.
On YouTube. No, it's a Sunday program, Serious Current Affairs. Have you seen that?
Yes.
What do they do? There's
big teams around for that.
Well, they just go to the break, and now when we come back, more of
this. Do you know
there
are fluffer horses?
Tony is not joking. Listen to this from the Sunday program.
A stallion with such a workload cannot be expected to hang around waiting for his intended to be ready. Enter Stickman, the teaser or fluffer. A pony whose entire role is that preparation. 10 seconds into his act, he's rudely interrupted and sent back to his stall.
Oh.
They remain possibly the most frustrated horses in the industry.
As angry as the jockeys for those fluffer horses.
The fluffer horses?
Stickman?
They're sent in to just get things started.
What, like he's a real smooth talker, rolls in with a cravat, you know, a glass of brandy, busts out some really good gear, and then gets ushered away.
Yeah.
No, I had friends that used to, I used to get angry because I'd have go and meet the girl, and then they'd come out, the good-looking friend coming over the top.
Yeah. You're a fluffer. You're a barroom fluffer, Wilson. I had no idea.
That's what I always said.
A barroom fluffer.
I think I am as well. I want that to be Shannon Knoll's next hit, by the way.
Barroom
fluffer.
She's just realised that he is himself.
I am a barroom fluffer.
I think you might be for the Bachelor of the Year.
Et cetera, et cetera.
But then the actual horse, the proper one, comes in and have a listen to this.
Now for the star attraction. The stallion in full throttle enters the arena. Today, the aptly named Rock of Gibraltar, former world champion, winner of 7 consecutive Group 1 races, his target secured, swabbed, prepared and primed, as nervous as a bride on her wedding day, awaits. The stallion mounts, and with so much investment at stake, there is no room for error. As many as 5 stallion handlers are at the ready to ensure nothing goes awry in this manufactured twist. He's guided home by hand to ensure no wastage of, in this case, approximately $80,000 of liquid gold.
The Barry White.
Just leave the horse alone. I've got someone else coming in first. Somebody's guided home by hand. Just give me some privacy.
Guided home by hand. 5 people. It takes 5 people to guide him home by hand.
We are running so late.
Hang on a second. No, wait, Tony.
This show needs guiding home by hand.
Listen, man. When you're a youngster and you want to get involved in the horse racing industry, how do you end up being the stallion guider? That can't be a job.
It's like that thing that you use for snooker. You know, what's that?
The spider.
The spider. Basically, you're the human version of the spider.
Oh, my God.
For the stallion of the year.
Disgusting.
That's very poor work.
It's early on in your vet degree, I think, you do that one.
Here's what we were going to do. We were going to get people to call up with race calls. Do we even have time for that?
Nope.
We don't.
1-3-3-5-3. Call us now. Why were they calling us again?
Jockey excuses.
Call us now with a jockey excuse.
Yeah, that's all we got time for. A real short dovetail.
1-3-3-5-3. Ring us up and tell us why you didn't win the race. We're going straight to the callers as we
go. Actually, while we're waiting, I'll just do one race call if you want.
Okay, I'd love you to.
Have you got the background there? I'll just do the lyrics to Rick Springfield's Jessie Girl, if you like. That always works.
Love that.
Take it away.
Yes, and Jessie is a friend. Yes, I know she's been a good friend of mine, but lately something's changed. Something is hard to define. Jessie's got himself a girl. I want to make her mine. She's watching with those eyes. She's loving with that body. I know it. Yes, he's holding her own arms up late at night. You know, I wish I had Jessie's girl. Yes, Jessie's girl. Where can I find a woman like that? Jessie's girl.
That's great.
Yeah, it's much better, I think, in the form of a race girl. Or Gaul.
Race girl.
Or Bill. Or Widget.
You shouted yourself into delirium.
It's a delirium. I can say the word delirium.
That was beautiful, Tone.
I'll get myself back with a vocal warm-up. A little old lady was mutilated late last night. There, I can talk again.
Reward yourself. Guide yourself home by hand.
I will myself a copy of our new album, A Legal Download. That's what everybody calls us up gets.
Okay, here we go. Sarah, how are you?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Excellent. What's going on?
No, well, look, I just rang up. You guys are too busy yapping on.
Yes,
and I just rang up because I wanted to get a copy of your CD. And so I thought, I got through yesterday, but I missed out because you were too busy singing Africa.
This show needs reining in.
Are you saying that you didn't like the Africa? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. Love the Africa.
Yeah. All right, hang on. You've got to give us a jockey's excuse, though. Why didn't you win the Melbourne Cup today, jockeys?
I'm doing the jockey's voice.
High-pitched jockey's voice, Sarah. Come on.
I'm going to steal it from Futurama and say, hey, baby, ever done it in a suitcase?
if a jockey said that, that would be the highlight of the broadcast.
Highlight of my year.
All right.
You get a city. Hello, Carly. How are you?
Hey.
Oh, and why didn't you win the race?
Oh, well, all those guys in dresses sidetracked me, so I was busy watching them instead of riding my horse properly.
Fair enough. I saw some very attractive footage of two men in bourbon branded singlets with bourbon cans as fake breasts.
Oh,
I mean, when you wake up in the morning, you're going, should we?
We will.
Our suits are dirty. What are we going to wear? I know. All right.
Alcohol.
Carly, you're in. Hello, Kitch. How are you?
Yeah, g'day, boys. Listen, my horse, even though she's the champion, Jessie's girl, didn't get up today.
Why is that?
Because, well, you know, jockeys, you've got to watch our weight, and I had an extra piece of lettuce on my lunch that pushed me over.
Extra piece of lettuce, you fatty, and now you can't. Now you don't make the 12 kilos required.
Is that Album Country?
Yeah, that's Album Country. Oh, sorry, what'd you say, Kitch?
No, I was about to say, weighed me down, couldn't get Jessie's girl over the line.
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough, you get an album, my friend. Hello, Matt.
Hi.
Hey, and why didn't you win today?
Oh, well, look at my horse. She's all grey. She must be 20 years old.
Yes. Good excuse, a legal download for that,
Matt,
man.
You win. Hello, Steve.
How you going?
Hey, Steve, what's up? Why didn't you win today?
Oh, look, he was a good, honest horse, but I'm a fairly dishonest jockey, and I've got a brown paper bag full of cash.
Good stuff. Brown paper cash. That gets you an album.
Get his details. He's actually riding today, I think.
That was brilliant. Hey, John, are you there? John? John?
Mr. Marsland on the pots and pans.
Yeah, why didn't you win today, John?
I was abducted by aliens partway through the race.
Oh, yes. Better do it.
At the 1600, aliens descended, grabbed John from the second horse.
Well, is that it?
That's it.
Talkback Mountain, it's never run so fast.
No, that was, I feel like I should not crab on for a bit. Tony Wilson?
Well, Mr. Hugh Snipson, of course, the physics teacher with a very large birthmark on his face, could make an attempt at starting a call with the chemical elements.
Oh, that'd you want to do that?
I'd love
cue up the equipment if you could, Mr. Marsden.
But
we need some background sort of racing horsey
stuff.
Yeah. Starter mounts his rostrum.
Go! Lights on, racing! Hydrogen light around, beryllium coming up through the outside. Here's Boron. Boron making a good run now from Lithium and Neon. Neon settling back in the field, but Boron's making all the pace out front. At the 800, Boron a length clear of Hydrogen from Helium, from Lithium, and then Beryllium fall back. Buck tucked down to the side and beginning to lose the concentration of the race as Borat is kicking clear in the last 200. It's a Wayne Wilson call from 2002. I'm only going to call Borat here. Borat, two legs, Helium. Here's Lithium Beryllium, third and fourth. And bringing up the rear, Mendeleevium.
And coming from behind is Jesse's goal!
Oh, thanks to everyone who called up.
Guided by hand, a lot of you. Well done.
We did give away some albums, didn't we, Ed?
I think so.
I'm not quite sure how the show got so late today.
We said Toto and Toto didn't come in. I said it twice now. Nazan. I'm over it.
You have to do it yourself. Tony Wilson has an excellent book out for Christmas.
Does he what?
Called Australia United.
Kick-ass book.
And if you're thinking, oh, but what about the kids? He's also got the Thirsty Flowers in the shops.
It rhymes.
And there's the Players, obviously, is still in the shops. His other old book.
Yep.
What a top. There's a whole Tony Wilson section now at the bookshop.
Sort out all ages, just about.
Well, Tony Wilson's the new major contributor on the advice column in Bacon Busters.
Oh, that's true. And he's going to be appearing in Passiona High.
Oh, he is.
Finger in. Hugh Snibson.
In every segment. What about our key phrase today? Well, apparently it was barroom fluffer. And we'll be back tomorrow with a couple of old fluffers from way back, Leno and Woodley. And it's all thanks to the Mercedes-Benz Vito.
The girl's happy.